You know, there's an interesting verse in the Bible that a lot of people have taken the time to study. And they study it, and they study it, and they study it. And that's because they're always trying to figure out just what in the world a certain part of that verse means. People do that with a lot of texts in the Bible, but I'm thinking of one particular verse that's over in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. And in that verse, the Apostle Peter encourages Christians with these words. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Now, I find it ironic that all the people who have studied this verse get so wrapped up in trying to figure out the a day and 1,000 years part. They do that at the expense of everything else God is trying to say there. Because he says, do not forget this one thing, right? And you say, okay, well, what is that one thing? I mean, really, you know, because when you think about it, we tend to forget lots of things. So what one thing does he really want us to try to remember here? Well, you know, think about it. Peter is saying, don't forget the Lord. Don't forget that he's faithful. Don't forget that the Lord's view of time is different than our view. God is not limited by time as we are. God is outside of time as we know it. Don't forget that God is faithful and he will do all that he says he will do. Now, why is that important? Well, because back then, like today, people were wondering, well, just when is Jesus going to come back? He said he's going to be back. Well, where is he? We're suffering here. When are you coming back? And so Peter tells them that the Lord will come on his own time schedule and not on yours. That's pretty much it, you know. And so while we don't exactly know when he's coming back, we know that he is coming back. And that means we need to live in expectation of his return. And we need to use whatever time that God has given us to help others to find Jesus before he comes back. But sadly, we tend to forget that one thing. We tend to forget the Lord. We tend to forget to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And sadly, we also tend to forget to love your neighbor as yourself. Think about it. Jesus went to the cross to die, and not only for your sins and mine, but for the sins of everybody. Everybody. The point is, it's very important to remember God. But it's also very important to remember the people that God so loved in giving us Jesus. Especially when we don't know how much time any of us have left. And that's why we need to not forget. That's why we need to remember. And so this Memorial Day weekend, we're going to take a brief pause from our regular sermon series in Philippians and talk about people remembering people. And we're going to look at four different ways people can remember people this morning. And the first way is to remember the good and commend. We need to remember people when they're good and commend them. Of course, that could be hard in our current situation. For example, this is the time of the year of graduations. And so many young people have worked so hard for all their lives so far that they know, you know, they've just known school, right, and home and school. And now they've made it to graduation only to have their celebrations cheapened by the current crisis and stay-at-home order. That doesn't mean that they've worked for nothing. They didn't. They still made it. They still graduated. It's just that they're not allowed to celebrate in the traditional ways. And that can be a little unsettling. But thankfully, parents and schools have found ways to commend the students and even to commend the teachers who everybody's had to make all these drastic changes in the way that we do things over the last several months. To that end, I personally want to commend them for all of their hard work. Congratulations, graduates. Congratulations, teachers. And why? Well, God reminds us over in the book of Romans in chapter 13 and verse 7 to give to everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Think about it. You know, we need to respect and honor people when they do good. They're owed it. Of course, at this time, it's also important to commend our first responders, the nurses, the doctors, the firefighters, and even the elected officials who speak on our behalf. And congregationally, you know, as a body of believers, it's important to commend those people who teach our classes and thank those who cut the grass. And we need to praise those who clean the building and recognize those people who serve in various ways around your congregation. While at the same time, we need to be sensitive in how we say things. Story goes that there was once this weary beggar who approached a roadside inn that had the name George and the Dragon. Not Pete's Dragon, but George and the Dragon. And so this beggar, being all cold and hungry, you know, he went over and he knocked on the door of the inn looking to ask for just a little something, you know, because he's hungry. Well, the door burst open and he was met by the most hateful and bitter woman you've ever seen. And she just screamed at him to get off her stoop and just leave the property immediately. And then she slammed the door right in his face, you know. Well, of course, that didn't quite satisfy his hunger. And so as his stomach growled, you know, even louder, he mustered up enough nerve and he went back over and he knocked on the door with that sign that read George and the Dragon. He knocked on the door a second time and politely asked, "May I speak to George this time?" There's no doubt about it. We've all encountered dragons in our life. We can find them at the grocery store and on the road in cars next to us and at our schools and at work and even online. And sometimes, you know, we might even find them in the church and maybe even in our own families. And sometimes we ourselves are that dragon. But instead of being dragons, we need to be all George. No, we need to be like angels, right? And seek to bless people with good words and words of encouragement, not those blistering, angry words. Ephesians 4:29 comes to mind, where we're encouraged to not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only what is useful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So what kind of talk benefits those who listen? Well, it's the kind of talk that commends, right? And appreciates and praises and encourages. We all need to zero in on the good in people's lives and be diligent about it, to watch for that good, you know, to keep our eyes and ears open for the good in people. Then to not hesitate to say something good to them, because, you know, if we do, then it will encourage them to continue to do even more good. And so as we do remember people this Memorial Day weekend, let's remember to see the good in others and commend them. The second way that we want to remember people is to remember the hurt and pray. We need to remember people that hurt and pray for them. Story goes that a Sunday school teacher was teaching her class of children the parable of the Good Samaritan over in Luke chapter 10. And she told them how the Samaritan was beaten and robbed and bloody and left for dead. The teacher went on to describe the situation in quite the vivid detail so that her young students would just be, you know, and caught up in the drama. And then she asked the class, now what would you do? If you saw a person lying on the side of the road, all wounded and bleeding, what would you do? Of course, the class went silent. Finally, a little girl broke the silence and said, I think I'd throw up. And while that might happen with some people, obviously that's not the message that Jesus is trying to get across, right? That's not the message of the parable of the Good Samaritan. The point is that when we see hurting people, as a people of God, we are to try to help them, to at least pray for them. You know, just think about Jesus. Jesus definitely connected with those who are hurting. Over in Matthew, in chapter 9 and verse 36, we're told that when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Think about it. Jesus saw hurting people, and that means that we need to see the hurt in others too. That way we can do something for them. And it's my understanding that next door to a recent widower, a young couple lived there with their six-year-old son, and when the little boy saw the old man crying on his porch swing all alone on the swing, you know, where he and his wife once used to sit together, that little boy went over into the man's yard and climbed up onto the swing and sat right next to him. His mother and father watched from across the way as they sat there and swung together. When he eventually came back home, his mother asked him what he had said to the neighbor, and the little boy said, nothing. I just helped him cry. Think about it. You know, we don't always have to have words to say. Just being there is often more than enough. Of course, it's important to remember to pray for them. Ephesians 6:18 at least reminds us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, we're encouraged to be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints, and particularly for those who are hurting. You see, when people hurt, we need to remember them and to pray for them and to let them know that we are, in fact, praying for them, because that's an encouragement for them. Again, we are to remember the hurt and pray. And the third way that we want to remember people is to remember the need and serve. Remember the people in need and serve them. Galatians 5:13 speaks to this when Paul writes that you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Serve one another in love. That's one of those verses that's good if you've never done it to underline it. Serve one another in love, you know. Later on, the Apostle Peter expands upon this idea of serving one another in love when he writes in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 that each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various form. Think about it. God wants us to serve one another in love. He wants us to use the gifts that he has given each of us to serve one another in any way that we can. And granted, not everyone has the same gifts. Not everyone has the same abilities or talents, but you have something that you can do. And it might just be to call somebody, but hey, that is your gift. That is what you use to serve one another. Back over in the Gospel of Matthew, After Jesus shares the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus continues with an application of that parable that summarizes how we should use whatever gift that God has given us in the service of his kingdom. Take a look, if you will, at verses 31 through 40 there in Matthew chapter 25. There Jesus says this: "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or in needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" And those are some very powerful and convicting words from Jesus. But let me ask you, need to be honest with yourself, is that really what happens today? Now, no one except for God really knows our true circumstances or what you've done, and no one's asking you to brag about it or say, "Hey, I did this and this and this and this." But there are so many people that focus on how bad they think they've got it. But really, God has blessed each and every one of us with so much. And we're not just talking about possessions, right? But friendships and love and those talents and skills and abilities that you have, with family, brothers and sisters in Christ, jobs, so much more. God has given us what we have, not for ourselves really, but in order to be a blessing to others. And so let's all remember the need and serve. And the fourth way that we want to remember people is to remember the dead and praise. We need to remember the dead and give praise for what they've done. Give praise to the Father in heaven. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 says this in summary and in response to the incredible examples of the faithful talked about in Hebrews chapter 11. The writer of Hebrews says there again in 12 and verse 1, "Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Think about that, just the first part there. You know, he says, we, of course, the writer is writing to the audience then, but it applies to us too in the circumstances we have. He says, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And for you and me today, that's Christians who've gone on before us that have given us great examples. You know, I was reflecting over this throughout the week about the many years that I've had the opportunity to minister here in Orangevale, and of the many wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone on to their eternal reward. And I'll admit, it brought a little tear to my eye. But I think back to those individuals, whether men or women in Christ, and I think about many of the blessings that they were given by God and how they were such an encouragement to me and so many others and helped others to find Jesus. You know, the thing that we need to remember those Christian men and women, and thank God for them, is to remember to give praise to God for their godly example and for their godly leadership. And of course, not just them, but you know, all Christians who have made the great transition from this world to the next. And it's Memorial Day weekend, you know, and we think about those who have served our country and who have given their lives so that we might be free. Remember those men and women throughout the years who have served. Remember this, though, too, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 13 and 14, where we find these encouraging words about those who have died in the Lord. Paul writes, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." Now think about all that. The dead in Christ are not really dead. We will see them again. Praise God for the resurrection, you know? That glorious hope that we have in Christ. And to have death described here as falling asleep in Christ, as Paul put it there in 1 Thessalonians 4, that's an incredibly comforting thing to the Christian who is about to make that trip, or to the Christian who's known those brothers and sisters who've made that trip. You know, because we know that it's peaceful. They're at peace, you see. We know that, too, that there's something more from that illustration of it being sleep, because we know that one day we'll all be together again when they wake up from that sleep with the trumpet call alarm clock from God. And we'll all meet together with the Lord in the air and be with him forever. You know, it's so reassuring when someone dies in the faith. And sadly, not everyone dies in the Lord. And I've seen my fair share, and I'm sure you've seen it too, of those who have had either little or no faith, or their loved one who died has either little or no faith. And it's a terrible, terrible scene. It's because there's just no hope. And it's very sad. But praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 1:3-7 encourages us. He says, In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And so we praise God. We praise God for the hope that we have in the risen Christ. And we give recognition to that great cloud of Christian witnesses who have gone on before us here at Orangevale or wherever you may be. And so those who have gone on throughout our lives, you know, maybe it's not where you are right now, but someplace else. You know, remember those people who have made an impact on you for Christ. Remember them. And so tomorrow, especially on Memorial Day, the day that our nation has set aside to remember those who have died in the service of our country, make sure that you do take that time to reflect upon them all and to remember them all. Again, we're to remember the dead and praise, and remember the need and serve, and remember the hurt and pray, and remember the good and commend. Most importantly, we should remember what God has done for us in sending Jesus to die on the cross in our place, For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And if you would like that, if you would like eternal life, if you would like to become a Christian, it's really easy to do. Just believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon your trust in him, to turn to him in repentance, confessing him as Lord and Savior, and then commit yourself to him by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And then rising up out of the water, you're born again. You're a Christian, right? And so now you do your best to continue to live your life for Christ until he comes back again or you go to be with him. And for those of us who are already Christians, may we continue to do our best to remember the Lord, to remember each other, and to encourage others to do the same. Again, if anyone has the need to share or to seek prayer or to become a Christian for the very first time, I would like to encourage you to message us directly through Facebook or email me directly at minister@ovchurch.org. Let's pray. Most Holy Father in heaven, again, we do so thank you again for blessing us with this time as we gather together to remember you and the breaking of the bread and the cup, and to remember one another, especially on this weekend, as we remember those who have served our country well and have died for our freedoms. And Father, we pray that you will bless the families of those who've lost loved ones in such service. And Father, we also pray that you'll help us to remember those who have served your church well throughout the years. Father, help us to remember those who've gone on before us. Help us to remember those who are still here and love one another. In Jesus' name.